Excuse me.
God, I hope that made that.
No, it didn't.
Bitch.
Hello and welcome to episode 361 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. But that did, Joey. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Which, given our subject today, do we even know what the internet is? Where they can find you on the post. Megan, we'll start with you this week.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin, and you can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Highly caffeinated, I can tell. Joey.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hey, guys. Welcome.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Good.
We had 3 inches of snow this weekend and everything shut down for 4 days. So
I have like a ton of snow, and my parents actually sent me a picture today that they carved out a little space for my dog when he comes home so he can poo in the backyard because it's so deep. Like it's his little legs would not be able to, I mean, he's bigger than dogs like Neville, but his little legs, he's got short, stumpy legs. They would not be able to survive.
Now, are you getting a nor'easter this weekend?
I don't know. Are we? I have no idea.
There's one coming up the coast. I just don't know if it's going to hit Philly.
If it hits Philly, it might not hit us because Philly, we're farther away, but I don't know. Sometimes it'll like, usually any weather that we get, like it'll be Columbus first, I feel like. So let me know, Jay.
It is actually, there's a good amount of snow here. It's been snowing for the last couple of days. Like last year, I remember last year there was like no snow and everyone was like, this is the worst winter we've ever had. And I was like, there's no snow. Like I didn't pull out like my scarves or my hats or anything. And now this year, there's definitely more snow this year.
Oh my God. It's going to be 18 degrees in Columbus, Ohio on Saturday.
It's going to be 18 tomorrow in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Cause I'm working from home tomorrow, which I'm excited about.
Ugh, that's cold. That's too cold for
me. Yeah, it's really cold. And then my dog always wants to go out. And I'm like, I'm sorry, buddy. It's not safe for you.
You know, Joey, when I was walking around in the 3 inches of snow that we got, I was thinking fondly of the time that I stepped off the street in Rochester, New York, and fell into
a pile of snow. I mean, Clarence is actually very tall for people that don't know that. I remember the first time Megan and I met Clarence in Miami, I was like, oh my God, he's so tall. But it was, he like so stepped short, off. Clarence basically stepped off of the curb. And I feel like you were like knee deep, waist deep in snow.
I was knee deep for sure because it went over my, my ill prepared shoes.
Oh no.
Because I don't have boots or anything. We don't need them. It snows here and you wait and it melts. It's fine. It's gone. You don't like all these people. You can tell that they either ski or they're from the north because they go around the neighborhood. They've got snow pants on. They've got snow boots on. And I'm just
that's
like
so funny
walking around in tennis shoes. I'm like, oh, my feet are wet. Oh, well, I'll wait 3 hours and it'll be gone. Anyway, so enough about the weather report. So one thing I know you've been doing, Megan, I don't think we have time to talk about this in depth today, but you've been attending the Sundance Film Festival remotely, as it is not held in person this year for Awards Daily. So I think maybe once you're done with it, you want to talk about it next week and recoup some things?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Excellent. So what's just very quickly, what's your favorite film so far?
I really enjoyed Fresh with Sebastian Stan. I want to get this right. I think it's directed by Mimi Cave. I think that's who. Yes, Mimi Cave directed it. And it's also starring Daisy Edgar Jones. And it's like, I kind of went into it with an idea of like, you know, it's the log line is that it's about one woman's defiant battle to survive her new boyfriend's unusual appetites. So like, I knew what I thought it was about, but I'm sure people have their own ideas. But going into it, knowing nothing is best. And it's also just, I think, like I said in my tweet, Sebastian Stan is coming for 2022. And between this and I need to see Pam and Tommy? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Pam and Tommy.
I need to see that too. And I think he's in something else that's coming out. I can't remember. But I just feel like he's everywhere this year. And he's really a good actor. but I think it's kind of his movie. And so I'm anxious for people to see it because I think it's coming to Hulu in February or March, maybe.
Ooh.
So it'll be coming soon.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think they acquired it. I actually want to say it's March. But anyway, so I think everybody should see it. Oh, he was in the 355, too. That's the other thing that I was
About. Well, yeah. I don't know that I would have included
I don't know if he's really coming for 22 with that one, but the other one.
Well, if anybody... If anybody wants to see Sebastian Stan's penis, they can go see that movie that came out last year.
Which one?
Oh, my.
That
oh my
movie
God.
That came out last year. There's like.
It was Avengers.
Oh, it's like the Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
No, that movie called Monday.
I didn't see that movie.
I'll send you a GIF.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, God. I feel like the tagline for that movie should have been Sebastian Stan's penis.
Well, we would have sold more tickets or any tickets.
But yeah, I've enjoyed Fresh, and I also saw the other movie that I think you two would like. It's the Good Luck to You, Leo Grande with Emma Thompson. I think that you two would both. It's kind of going along with our topic today of like you guys have a very. I figured out after so many years of. working alongside you. I know when it's a bingo, and I think this one's a bingo for you, just like the Gilded Age is a bingo.
I'm mad because I rented that movie from, because, you know, it's digital. So, I mean, yeah. Anyone can really, watch the stuff, but it's a limited window that you get to watch stuff in. And I missed the window after I rented the movie, and then the player was being really, really fickle, so I never got to watch it. So hey, Sundance, give me my $20 back.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I'm dying to see that.
I do think you guys will really like it, and she gives a very brave performance in it. And I know that's a stupid thing to say, but like, it's just something like I would like to imagine that movie is the sequel to Love Actually for her character. Yeah,
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she for the past 10 years, I think she's been giving on and off really great performances, and nobody pays her any attention, and I don't know why that is.
This one's also kind of reminded me of like a Gloria Bell-esque film, which, I love Gloria Bell. So I feel like it's, I just want you guys to see it.
All right. Yeah, well, I'll be anxious to see it.
Very much up my alley. Yeah.
Very good. Speaking of Pam and Tommy, I have seen the first episode of that because we do have screeners for it, and it is it's better than I thought. Although I it's not much about Pam so far. It's more about
Tommy.
And, well, it's more about Tommy, and then the
and?
I don't remember the name of the guy that Seth Rogen plays, but I can't. It's the handyman that steals the tape. It's interesting. It's definitely in the vein of I, Tonya.
Okay.
I hate it.
I hope it's done a little better than I, Tonya.
Yeah, it's broad. I can't see the Television Academy doing much with this. But it's going to be fun, I think.
Anyway, yeah, I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So let's segue over to our main topic this week. Again, we'll talk about Sundance in more depth next week with Megan reviewing all of the films that she has seen, the 10 or so that she has seen.
Yes.
Gosh, it's amazing that you can wake up in the morning after having only seen 10 Sundance films. Anyway, our main topic today is HBO's newest prestige drama, The Gilded Age, which comes from who I found out today was a Lord Julian Fellowes, who was the creator of Downton Abbey, most famously, and also wrote a lot of other upstairs, downstairs things like Gosford Park. Yes, thank you. That was I was getting there. I was getting there. Give me some time.
I wasn't supplying it for you. I was just echoing what you were saying.
There's a lot going on in the Gilded Age, and as Megan has already inferred, this is very much my thing. It is very much Joey's thing. Probably less my guess would be less so Megan's thing, but we'll dive into that as we start talking about the Gilded Age. I'll just give you a quick overview, and then we'll start talking. It's essentially two families. It's kind of an old money, new money thing, and there's a lot more going on than that, but that is certainly how it's being marketed. The old money is personified by Christine Baranski, who plys Agnes Van Ryn, and her family, which consists of her sister Ada, played by Cynthia Nixon, her niece, who is kind of the lead of the show, Marion Brooke, kind of comes in, and she navigates between the old and new money worlds. She's played by Louisa Jacobson, also known as Meryl Streep's daughter.
She's a gummer.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought too, and I was like, is that a gummer?
Is that not a gummer? Oh, it's not Mamie. And then the new money is played by Carrie Coon, the Russells. Carrie Coon plays Bertha Russell. Her husband is Morgan Spector. Last seen on HBO in The Plot versus Plot Against America, who plays George Russell, a classic robber baron who made his money in the locomotive industry and has a lot of money and builds an enormous house across the street from the Van Ryns. And then there's a lot of other characters, both fictional and real, that are all sort of navigating this world of the Gilded Age in the 1880s in New York City. And essentially what Julian Fellowes is doing through the show is telling you the history of New York through these stories. There's a lot of little details that you pick up on about very American topics that don't kind of carry over from Downton Abbey. There are some things that do carry over from Downton Abbey, but there's, you know, there's the very American topic of race and race and class, and which class, of course, comes from Downton Abbey as well. But there's a lot going on in it, and it's the first episode is long because I did find out that they had filmed 10 episodes and they decided to re-edit the first two episodes into a single episode to get viewers into the story faster, which I thought was interesting considering I've seen 5 episodes at this point. But anyway, I'm going to stop talking. And Megan, why don't you tell us what you thought?
So I have never seen an episode of Downton Abbey. I'm probably going to be killed.
I haven't
for this.
Either.
Oh, okay, good. And you're right. This is not my type of show. But I really, you know, appreciate a lot of the things that they're doing, and it's all stuff that I was able to follow. So that's always a good thing. But I thought that the music was really good. I think it's Harry Gregson Williams. Is that who did it?
The brothers, Harry and his brother, who's probably, I interviewed one of them for something. I should
okay.
know more about
Wait.
That. But
yeah. Oh, I thought it was just one. I thought Harry Gregson Williams did it.
It's Harry and Rupert Gregson Williams.
Oh, so both of them did it. Okay.
Yep.
So the music is great. The production design is awesome. The acting is great too. I mean, Christine Baranski is always good. I love seeing Cynthia Nixon doing something where she doesn't have to deal with Che, Che Diaz. There's some things that made me laugh though, because I was thinking about how, you know, Carrie Coon, always great and love her in this kind of role, which I don't think we've really seen her do anything like this, which is also mm-hmm. cool, but mm-hmm. she's 41 years old in real life. And then her kids come on the scene and I'm like, this is always like my bugaboo about shows now where I'm like, once you turn 40, you're able to have a 30-year-old son. And that's what's, and yeah. So her son is 28 on the show. And then poor Taysa Farmiga, who I feel like is perpetually playing a teenager. Cause mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, maybe she's like 20 in real life. And then I looked it up. No, she's 27. So
she's 27.
She doesn't look
old.
It though.
She does not look it.
She
yeah.
looks so young in this.
She looks so mm-hmm. young. Yeah. I thought even younger than other shows, but it made me laugh though. Cause then I thought, well, so maybe, you know, the Gilded Age is a little different. Maybe people were popping out kids at 13, but then I'm like looking at Marion, who's like, I'm assuming older on the show. I'm not sure. Like, not, she's 30 in real life. I don't think she's supposed to be like a teenager on the show, or is she? I'm not sure. But she doesn't have kids. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's not. It's just something that has bothered me. And now, like, I don't like when they, and this is no knock on the show. It doesn't really matter. But it just is something that, like, took me out for a second because I'm like, wait a minute. Carrie Coon is, like, supposed to be a mother to this guy who looks like he's not much younger than her, or even possibly her same age, maybe because he just doesn't look very young. Like, I mean, he just looks very adult. I don't know. It was just something that makes me laugh. But that is a sidebar. Also, I want to shout out Ashley Atkinson.
Oh, I love her.
Mamie Fish. And I'm hoping to see more of her. She's also on and Just Like That, friend of the podcast. I love her. But I was excited to see her too. And I feel like this is a completely different role for her that we haven't seen. Like everybody's kind of doing things that are in their wheelhouse, like they can totally do, but you just haven't really seen them do, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Does Ashley Atkinson listens into our podcast?
I don't know, but she's my friend. So.
Yeah, the age thing doesn't necessarily bother me. Her son.
I think it just bothers me because I'm a woman of a certain age now.
God, shut up. I mean, Megan, to be honest, if you were living during this time, you would be like
dead.
I was in a spinster.
You would be Cynthia Nixon.
Yes, yes. Well, that's why I just had questions. I also don't know, like, if maybe that is the way it is. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I think I had the same discussion with Dune because I was, but that's the futuristic thing. So in the past, did this happen? I just want to know. I just want to know what history, what happened.
Well, I think, Louisa Jacobson's character of Marion Brooke, she's probably in her mid-20s and has not been married because her father didn't have any money. So there was no dowry. There was no match that could be made. So she probably is a little bit older than, say, Bertha Russell was when she had her kid because she married money, right? So
yeah.
We don't know a lot about Bertha Russell's background. There are hints at... perhaps she didn't have a great background. Perhaps she married up, or perhaps, you know, you're very gradually finding out a little bit more about the Russells. But I can imagine that she did have kids early to kind of lock in that marriage. And Marion Brooke may not have had kids because she doesn't. Her father, who is Christine Baranski's brother, he passes away at the beginning of the show where you don't see him. He's actually dead. And then she finds out he doesn't have any money. So that's probably why she's not married or with children, is she doesn't have a background to be enticing to a man.
Yeah, you're probably right. And I just need to tamper my suspension of disbelief. Like, is Tysa Farmiga supposed to be playing younger, or is Carrie Coon supposed to be playing older? That's what I need to. Temper that, yes.
Tessa Farmiga's character hasn't come out yet in terms of her debutante. Like, she hasn't been presented, so she's probably 17 or 18.
Okay.
That would be my guess. And her son came out of college, so he's probably 21, 22.
Okay. Then that would track. Okay. I'm okay with this.
And she very well could have had kids in her.
That makes sense. 20s. I was just like... But I do think that the Russell son looks older than 22, but maybe that's just me.
Joey, what did you think of The Gilded Age?
I mean, I'm a sucker for,
all of it.
give me all of it. I was just like every time. I like how Carrie Coon walks on stage in this like immaculate dress, and then I'm just looking at the detail. I'm like, oh, and then she's like on screen for 10 seconds, and that's the dress that she has to wear for those 10 seconds. It's sort of, I will be talking to this costume designer. I'm taking it from whoever wants to do it.
I'll take that off.
just scratch it off. But it's just like, I'm actually almost, I might revive my ranking of the hats list, but I might have to do it episode by episode because there's so many.
There's a lot of hats.
Yeah, a lot of hats. I like it. I got kind of annoyed where after I watched the episode and I was looking up reviews of it, and this is the first episode we have. There's clearly a million characters. There's like, what, 25 at least principal characters that we're introduced to. I thought it was kind of obnoxious how people online, even in some like reviews from like major publications, they're just like, there's so much going on. And I was like, It's the first episode of a giant sprawling series. Like, oh, I'm so sorry that you couldn't catch every nuance and every tiny little thing. Like, let the show breathe. Like, you're not in a corset. Like, you'd be fine. Like,
I actually like that there was a lot going on because it really set up a lot of things to be interested in. Like, hey, if you're not interested in this, well, then what about this? Or like, I thought it did a very good job with the script and everything. I thought it was all really strong.
Yeah, I mean, Julian Fellowes is not a brand new screenwriter. He is very good at what he does. I mean, I think the problem that people are seeing, though, those that have seen five episodes that were provided for reviews, I think the problem that they're having is there's twofold. It is a lot to take in, and it demands a lot of your attention because he is trying to basically tell a story and the history of New York all at once. So there's a lot of nuance to pick up on. There's a lot of like, okay, who is that person, and you know what is their relationship to this, and what, you know, there's just a lot going on. There's a lot of interconnections. And then I think number two, some of the reviews are just like, I don't care what these white people are doing. Like, this is not a show that is going to appeal to those who love Euphoria.
Yeah.
Well, it's a more.
But that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a more like traditional show. Like this, like that's not like a knock at any other show or a knock at this show. Like if this show came out in the 90s, it would be like Event Network Television sort of shit.
Which it was supposed to be. This was originally supposed to air on NBC.
Really?
Yeah, I'm glad it's not.
Yes. NBC definitely would have run it in the ground, and then it would have never seen a season two because, you know, anyway. But I agree. I mean, I think if you compare it against Downton Abbey was a PBS thing. So and it took a while for it would air in the UK, then it would come over here. And so people would gradually find it. Airing on HBO kind of gives it a little bit of, I think, more lofty expectations.
Yeah.
I would say. And plus it's got the star cast that Downton Abbey didn't have.
That's true.
I'm already like, there's a lot to love. Like, I was actually a little surprised by how much the gays were clinging onto the show. I feel like because it is like a sort of, you know, stately, restrained style thing. But I think the cast is really pulling the people into it. Like, I'm sorry, but it's Christine Baranski for the fags. I mean, that's what it is. That's why the gays are watching it.
There is another moment where I said that's a bingo, and it was for the gays. Do you know which moment it was?
At the very end.
Yes.
Oh, you mean the thing you just tweeted, Joey?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this did the holy trifecta in one episode. It was like, it was featured women of a certain age. It has a strong woman of color. And now it's got LGBTQ stuff. Way to go. Good job.
Well, it's also just like, this cast is so big, but I'm so excited to see, as somebody who, I never watched The Leftovers. That's a show I should probably watch. But
season three, like, is amazing.
I'm so like, every single thing that Carrie Coon is doing in this, I was like, give it to me. Actually, also the gays from that movie, The Nest. I don't know if you guys ever saw that movie.
I talked to the director.
Hated that movie.
Oh, you hated that movie?
Yes, I hated that movie. I just didn't see the point of it, but that's okay.
The gays go crazy for that.
The dance scene.
The dance scene, her performance in that. So, like, the shit that she does in this episode, it's a lot with her, like, affectation, the way she looks, the way she, how she, I'm obsessed with how actors, especially women, use their voices. And I can see, like, in some instances where I'm going to be like, oh, I'm here for Carrie Coon. I'm so excited.
Yeah, she's got a line. I'm trying to, I know it was in one of the, it was in a review that I read, but it, I can't find it right now. She's got a line coming out, here it is. She tells someone, you cannot write a check without first making a deposit. And just the way she delivers it and the moment, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, it's white ladies in corsets and they're tied really tight and there's nothing going on, but you're like, ooh. I did that a couple of times when I was watching it with my wife. She looked over at me. She's like, what? And I'm like, but she's a bitch, but she's high class.
You know, I thought this several times for the episode from several characters, including Carrie Coon. I could see homos in their house with a glass of wine like I am right now. And like they say something like, you cannot. What's the line that you just said?
God, I just deleted it.
Cannot make a withdrawal without making a deposit.
Yeah.
So I could see that line being said, and some gay guys just on their couch being like, "Work."
Yes.
Or like, "Yes, girl," like snapping their fingers, like I'm just like some stupid, horrible white gay thing that we all do. And by we all, I mean me and all the other white gays.
Or everything that comes out of Christine Baranski's mouth.
Yes.
Like there's that wonderful scene that she has in the beginning. And I do want to talk about more than just performances, but there's a wonderful scene she has toward the beginning where Cynthia Nixon's character, who is super nice, but kind of simple. Like she's just very sweet.
I feel like there's more to come, right?
Yeah, there definitely is. There definitely is.
She can't get fingered in the kitchen.
There is a tweet that's going around that somebody photoshopped Che. It's like, I did not expect this crossover.
I saw that too.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said in the pilot, she sits there, she says, well, she's going to have to travel for 12 hours. She'll have to take this train to here, to here, and to here. She goes on and on. And Christine Baranski goes, are you going to open a travel agency?
She's such a bitch.
It was great. I mean, it's a little bit like she's not as, I don't think her lines are as necessarily witty as Maggie Smith's from Downton Abbey. She's pretty close.
I have nothing to base it on, but from some of that, doesn't she say what's a weekend or something?
Yeah, that's the iconic line from the first series that you just all of a sudden realize that these people are so incredibly rich and they don't have jobs that they don't understand the difference between a work day and a weekend. And it's just kind of, that was a mind blowing thing. The thing that I think is, you guys don't watch Downton Abbey, but those who did will know what I'm talking about. This show, of the five episodes I've seen, it doesn't have the moment where in Downton Abbey, Lady Mary, who is played by Michelle Dockery, there's this guy that comes to visit. His name is Mr. Pamuk, and he is a Persian, I think, I'm not quite sure what background he was, but he was foreign, and she was turned on by him, and so she let him into her bed, and then he died after they had sex. And so basically, she fucked him to death.
Oh my God, you did not
see that coming. Like Downton Abbey was like, you know, butlers and maids and Maggie Smith being bitchy. And then all of a sudden she fucked him to death. Like this Gilded Age has yet to have this yet. Although somebody does die, but,
I imagine like the thing that I appreciate about the show is, and not a lot of shows do this, is that it's taking its time. Like,
yeah.
There's no, like, I always hated when people said, you know, like, nothing happened on Mad Men. I was like, that's not really true. But, like, I remember, like, when the lawnmower episode happened on Mad Men, there's like, finally, something exciting happened. I was like, shut the fuck up. But
it was like, it was kind of dumb. I mean, don't get wrong, I loved it too, but it was kind of dumb. Like, it was like, is that what they want from that show? Then you're watching the wrong show. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I was like, why are you watching this damn show? Go away.
Well, it's just this is definitely not that kind of show. This is going to be all about, you know, there's it's definitely more along the lines of a Mad Men, in that the drama is solely happening from relations between the characters.
Yes.
Less so about major events. I mean, there's not going to be like a musical number, although given the Broadway talent, they should have a musical episode.
But Donna Murphy.
Donna Murphy, oh my God, there's people you've never even heard of, like Audra McDonald, Kelly O'Hara, Donna Murphy, Michael Cerveris, Deborah Monk,
Christine Baranski.
Christine Baranski, and even I don't think Cynthia Nixon can sing, but she's also Broadway. Nathan Lane shows up, a lot of people, and that's great though, because this shot in around New York. pulled from that Broadway community during COVID when they couldn't get jobs. They weren't, you know, Broadway was shut down. So it was good for the community. I was happy to see that.
You know, Christine Baranski has never been in a musical on Broadway, which I think is crazy.
That is crazy.
I did not know that, but
she has 2 Tony Awards for being in plays, but I think they're both Tom Stoppard plays. Now I gotta go back and figure that out. It was bad. Like I was I was trying to think of, like, even in that one scene with Morgan Spector and where he's telling Mr. Thurgood that he like wants his property. Like I was just like, I can't remember his name. He was in Follies, like Boyd Gaines. I think that was him. I have to look at the credits and find it. But I was just like, Jason came down to after his meeting, like right before we started recording, and like the end credits were coming on. And as it was going on, I was like, Deborah Monk, Celia Keenan-Bolger, Audra McDonald, Michael Cerveris. And he was like, what are you doing? He thought I was having a stroke.
If age things bother you, I don't know what you think about this, but Christine Baranski and Cynthia Nixon were in a play together called The Real Thing. Is it The Real Thing, Joey? Mm-hmm. Cynthia Nixon played Christine Baranski's daughter.
What?
Yes.
They're like, what, 15 years apart?
Christine Baranski is
69.
Okay, and Cynthia Nixon how old is Cynthia Nixon?
Timeless.
She's not timeless.
How dare you?
She's 55. So she's like 14. So there's like 14 years difference.
Yeah.
That's it just bothers me because it's so prominent more with women. And like they just kind of think, okay, you're over 40. You could do this. Like, go ahead. Right. Whereas men, it's like we can give Jack Nicholson, like it could be now having a baby. Like it's like. There you go. Like he's a new Nicholson. Parent.
Jack Nicholson will be starring in a movie with Dua Lipa.
Not anymore.
True. I mean, the fact that it was such a big deal in Don't Look Up that Leo had kids who were in their 20s, like, that was a big deal. Because we're not used to seeing him with like that.
Used to seeing him doing 20-year-olds.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. By the way, every time you guys mention Morgan... Spector.
Oh, so
I kept thinking it was Morgan Spurlock who directed Super Size Me.
Oh God!
And I'm like, he's in this. What's he doing in this?
No, but he's. I didn't realize he was married to Rebecca Hall.
Yes, mm-hmm. So he's going to have a very good year too, because everybody's going to be rallying around him.
Yes.
In a variety of ways.
I remember when I talked to him on Plot versus Against America, he was filming this. He was incredibly excited about Gilded Age.
Really? That's so cool.
He loved it. He loved it. He was like, I can't wait for you to see it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I know.
I like the relationship between them.
Yes.
Between him and Carrie Coon. I think they have a good chemistry. Like they're kind of, they're a little playful and, he's just always, he just like gives her space. Like he knows that she's going to do something great that she wants to do. I like that.
Yeah. One of the things that's really interesting that the contradictions that they're drawing between married couples in the show, other episodes that you will watch, if you do watch more episodes, Megan, you will see, husbands who are wives who are powerless against their husbands, who do only what their husbands say. But in this relationship, it's almost, they're not equals, but it's almost like he treats her as an equal. Like she doesn't have direct influence on his business, but he values her opinion and he asks her questions about his business and she tells him what he should do in certain situations. And I find that really interesting.
That is interesting.
Well, she's like, you can tell she's vivacious. So it's sort of like, maybe like not as, like bubbly as someone who would be described as vivacious would be, but she's got like a stately gumption.
She, okay. 80-year-old Joey. She's, what's the right word? She's formidable.
Yeah, that's a better word. God, stately gumption. Why the fuck did you let me say that?
I like stately gumption.
I just imagine you with your pearls and your pocketbook and walking around the house like Estelle Getty, but okay.
Stately gumption.
Stately gumption. There's another title for your biography.
Stately gumption. Time with me.
There's a lot going on here. I'm sure we'll talk about it more. I do want to... I want to talk about sort of where we think it lands within the Emmy race. It's obviously going to be a contender. I don't think it, I mean, it's its first season. I don't think it's the kind of show that will say unseat something like Succession or even Squid Game. But I think it gets nominated.
In the drama series?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think easily. Probably Christine, do you think Christine Baranski gets in for lead actress?
I don't know if she's going to... HBO hasn't, I actually called our contact at HBO and asked point blank, where are these people being campaigned? Because I've already put a lot of people on the Emmy track and I don't know where to put them. And they don't know either.
I love that you're calling. Tell me now, where do these people go?
I also had to give them a piece of my mind about something else, but that will remain offline. And I love
are we still friends with them?
Yes, we are. Still friends. I think they are going to put I think Christine Baranski will want to be campaigned and supporting for this because she's not going to want to compete against herself for the good fight.
Oh, yes, because that's going to happen.
I know it won't happen. And maybe she abandons that and maybe they push her into lead. I think Carrie Coon has the biggest presence in the series. And I wonder if they would put her in lead.
That's what I imagine they would do.
But there's also an argument for the character of Marion Brooks being the lead of the show because she does navigate between the two worlds. However, I don't think Louisa Jacobson is good enough to be nominated. She's fine. She's just not. There's a couple of – I watched it a second time just before we recorded. There's at least one moment where I just imagine her mother standing over her going, that is a terrible line delivery. She read something too fast, and it kind of ran together. And I don't know why they didn't catch it and why they didn't redo it. But she's just not a natural actress. She's fine. She's fine. She's just not – I probably –
she's also like never been in anything else, right? Like this is kind of like her first thing.
Yeah.
Her IMDb page is, it's like one other thing.
Yeah. She's done a lot of theater.
So like, I wonder if that's like also I wonder if theater is more of her thing and this is kind of different for her.
Right. Could be.
Cause I know that is always like a challenge for theater actors to move into television. I mean, it's such a different style.
Yes. I'm not saying she's bad. I just don't think she's great.
I understand.
I don't think she could go against Carrie Coon. But I think but supporting becomes really challenging, though, when you look at – well, really, I think it's Christine Baranski or Cynthia Nixon in supporting.
Yeah.
And I think Carrie Coon should go lead. I think Morgan Spector should go lead. I think the actress Denae Benton, who plays Mrs. Scott, the African-American woman, she's very good.
Oh,
Peggy Scott.
I love her. Yeah. I thought she was very interesting character and dynamic with her acting too. Like you were kind of drawn to her and more than just one way. Like she's very engaging.
She is. There's a scene in I think episode 3 or 4 that will make you grit your teeth so badly when compared. It's a scene between her and Marion. Where Marion does something that is just wrong, just really, really wrong.
I think I
saw
a preview for it or like something she does ahead of time. By the way, supporting actress drama is going to be a bloodbath.
It is. It is. And I'm you know, if HBO campaigns Cynthia Nixon and Christine Baranski, they're going to have so many people that I wonder if Jerry from J. Smith Cameron can actually get in.
And do you think, well, not to speculate, but I did want to bring up that I read about Yellow Jackets. Did you know that HBO passed on Yellow Jackets?
Oh, I did not know that.
Because they said they had too many shows exactly like it. which I thought was interesting because, like, there's no show like that show.
And by interesting, you mean stupid.
Yeah, like, but I think, like, yeah, it's just thinking about that and, like, how they're getting, it's just, who knows, Julia Garner's got to get in for it, which I need to catch up on that once I'm done with Sundance, but.
Yeah. Sarah Snook will get in, Christine Baranski, Julia Garner, someone from Yellow Jackets, I would think. But then you've got Ho Yong Jeong, who got nominated at SAG.
Great, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Jacynth Cameron will probably fall out because she wasn't as prominent this season.
And I'm hearing a lot about Sydney Sweeney from Euphoria.
Is she pregnant this season or something? I saw her with a pregnancy belt or something.
Well, there was a really funny thing going on. Well,
I still haven't watched that show. I probably should.
Yeah, I need to get
the word Oklahoma was trending. I watched a clip of it.
Yeah,
I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, the clip was really good. So it's that's already 7 or 8, and there's still shows yet to debut. So it will be a bloodbath. But I also see. I don't think there's anybody. I mean, I think you could probably fill up the guest slots with just people from the Gilded Age.
I want them all to just be, I was going to tweet something about it, but I was trying to find the right pictures. I was like, I will not rest until every single slot is filled with a Tony Award winning Broadway actor. So
yeah,
I found my life's work.
It just, I mean, the trick is going to be that weird rule about them being in more than like 5 episodes or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And they may only be guest performances. Like Michael Cerveris shows up maybe 5 minutes a show, but he show up 5 minutes 9 times, which would make him ineligible. Yeah, it is a dumb rule. But crafts wise, I think this gets all of them. Like, production design, cinematography, editing.
But if it doesn't get in for cinematography, I mean, that's it. It's finito. If it doesn't get in.
That's a different podcast, Joey. I think you could even get weird things like visual effects in a non-effect, whatever that category is, like visual effects for a non-effects thing.
The one that the Handmaid's Tale
always gets. just because they had to do a lot of visual work to make Central Park look like that. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it evolves. I would urge you guys to catch up on it, but I understand if you don't have time. I know, Joey, you will. But and this is very much my thing. I mean, Age of Innocence is my favorite movie. To the point I was thinking about today, did I have a past life as like an aristocrat in the Gilded Age? Because that would be awesome.
Of course you would. You're a man.
Right? And I probably had a past life as somebody downstairs eating bread by a fire or something.
I do that like every day before I go to sleep. What are you talking about?
So before we leave this, I would recommend to anybody who's interested in the Gilded Age to check out the official Gilded Age podcast that comes from HBO. It's incredibly interesting because they have a historian who goes and sort of explains all the nuances of each episode. I learned a tremendous amount. Yeah. So it's just for the history. I would recommend people listen to it. And their pilot episode had an interview with Gillian Fellows and Christine Baranski, and she had lots of actorly things to say about her time at Juilliard. So
this is a podcast?
Yes.
Okay. That's awesome.
I need to listen to it.
Yeah. It's very good. All right. It's an hour long and it kind of flew by because the hosts are very good. So, all right.
Wow.
Very good. So, let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joey, you can go first.
Sure. I'm still playing a lot of catch up. I feel like this is sort of the week from hell because it's the voting window opens up this week. it opens on Thursday, so everybody should.
That's the voting window for the Academy Awards.
For the Academy Awards,
just a voting window opens.
Well, Well, Jez, usually anytime there's a voting window popping up somewhere, usually like the whole Awards Daily TV staff is like going crazy to, you know, finish stuff and get stuff up in time. Like there is, I got to do a couple interviews with the cast of Mass because I feel like they're doing, like a, not like a late push, but I feel like they came up right to the edge for it. So that'll be all dropping this week. I'm going to be posting a bunch of two more posts about the Oscar short films, which I posted the one about the documentary shorts yesterday. It was that took up a lot of my time because there were 15 shorts eligible. Normally there's 10. They expanded the eligibility to 15. I've been watching them and they're all, most of them are like 40 minutes and they all deal with stuff like, you know, ICE detainees worried about COVID spreading to their prison, or the visual breakdown of how people broke into the Capitol on January 6th, or I don't know, there was like a gay artist named JC Lendecker who never got the credit he deserved, and that's really sad. So that took out a lot of energy for me. So I'm going to look forward to some stupid stuff, like more light things this week. I know Euphoria probably doesn't fit in there because they deal with a lot of serious things, but there's the whole Oklahoma thing that we were kind of just mentioning. So I'm looking forward to that. And the show that I have watched the first episode for, and I can't wait to watch the rest of it, is The After Party, which drops on Apple TV with this like really fantastic comedic cast led by Tiffany Haddish. So that's it's like a murder mystery at a high school, or can't remember, it's high school or college,
high school reunion.
Yeah. And it's like, wow. Sam Richardson, Alana Glazer, Dave Franco, Tiffany Haddish plays the detective. it's a fun show. Fun
that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, The After Party debuts on Friday on Apple TV.
Well, I will go next because you just named two things that I'm looking forward to catching up on, which is The After Party and Euphoria. I need to start Euphoria, not just season two. I need to start the show. I want to catch up to Righteous Gemstones, which I've seen the first episode of and I liked. Need to continue that one. And I got a screener finally to Licorice Pizza. So I'm going to watching Licorice Pizza. Although they sent it to me at like 5 o'clock today and they said, this is good until 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I got a screener through the critics group that I'm in, and we no one knew when that screener was going to come in, and we didn't have any contact, and all of a sudden it magically dropped. It was like, you have, it was like a really random specific amount of time. It's like, you have 29 and a half hours to watch it starting 10 hours ago. I was like, okay, I guess I'll watch it again. So,
Megan,
I second all the things that you need. I need to watch Euphoria too. You named something else that I needed to watch.
Righteous Gemstones.
That too, yes. But first, I've got to get through Sundance. So we'll start with that, which I've really enjoyed. It's always great, and so I'll be writing up something this week. And then I've also been watching Dope Sick, which I highly recommend. I know some people didn't like it, but I find it fascinating. Michael Stuhlbarg is really good. Actually, Michael Stuhlbarg reminds me of an older version of you, Clarence. He, like, I don't know why. He just reminds me of you. But he's excellent. Of course, Michael Keaton is excellent. And Caitlin Dever is really good. I want to see her in a film where, or like in something where she's just has a happy, like I watched like Unbelievable. She's has a terrible storyline in that. But she's excellent in this. I watched Somebody Somewhere, which was really good. The first episode is really cute.
I love her.
Yeah, I really like this fit for her. And, I want to see where it goes. There's something else I feel like I'm missing. There's probably stuff. I'm still trying to finish my my Don't Call It a Cult book. And then is there any? I feel like there's Drag Race this week, and then also the season finale of 1,000 Pound Sisters is next week.
Or series.
Yes. Yeah. Or
oh, could be, no.
Well, I hope not. But Yeah, I think that's, there's probably other things. I'm trying to catch up on as many things as I can, but those are the things that are the most pressing this week.
Excellent. All right, does that cover it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let us get the hell out of here. So we are the 3Ms, contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.